We did find one, and I've never heard a message on this before, so it should prove to be interesting. At least it has been for me as I've studied this message. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 54. Then took they him and led him, speaking of Christ, and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying of the truth, "This fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Let's pray. Father, we approach this text, and Lord, we pray that you would be pleased as we expound upon it. We ask, Father, that you would help us to learn the lessons that need to be learned. And it's so often the case when we have those who are infamous or famous for bad reasons, we find things that we need to watch out for, to avoid. And so, Father, may we learn that. And we pray, Father, that you would help us now as we navigate through this text, that you would give us, Lord, the words that we need, and that, Father, we would go from here better equipped as we go out into the world, and that we may be the kind of witnesses that we need to be able to give an answer of the hope that lies within us, and yet recognize the dangers that are out there. We pray, Father, you would hear us now, for we pray in the name of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, for His sake. Amen. Well, in this series on the famous and infamous and anonymous, we could say it's a certain maid at the enemy campfire. We could say, really, if we look at some of the other accounts given here, the maids. We could say the maids that made Peter weep. The maids that made Peter weep. This account of this anonymous maid, just the one, there's another one in the other in Matthew and Mark, but this one that is particularly mentioned in Luke here in our text is mentioned in all four gospel accounts. So every one of the gospel accounts mentioned this particular maid. And now to think about anonymous, you always think of, that girl. And I thought about Marlo Thomas and that little TV series, That Girl. And so when we can't remember someone's name, we say, that guy or that girl or whatever. And so we have a case in point here of a certain maid. Now, when we look at this and we look at all the various accounts, and we're not going to go into a lot of detail about the various accounts and the harmony of it and so on, but just to, for further study, we have to understand that the Jewish trial, which is what this is about, was comprised in three stages. And as we look at the entirety of the accounts given by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we look at those various stages or parts of the trial. And we find that there was the three stages before Annas, okay, and also before Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin for an informal examination, and then before them in a formal trial. So those are the three stages that we find in the gospel accounts. And so we will look at these different accounts as we go through this, but what we want to look at is, first of all, the place of position. The place of position, the look of suspicion, and the word of accusation, and then the point of application. So let's look at, first of all, the place of position that this particular maid had. And this is significant. It's very applicable to us as we think of these, about these things. These aren't by accident, but there's certain details. Mark gives us some details in particular about this maid. It says in Mark 14:66, "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest." So we get a little more detail. It is a maid of the high priest. So she's in a position. She's not just some ordinary maid, but she's the maid of the high priest. And then next, we see additional details given to us in John chapter 18, verse 17. It gives us a little more detail. What exactly, at least at this particular juncture, was her job? Well, it says there in verse 17, "Then saith the damsel that kept the door." So she was a maid that was responsible for keeping the door or guarding the door. Now, many times we have such servants, or in our day we could say employees. The employers have certain employees like secretaries for a CEO, for example. What are they there for? Are they just there to file things and data entry? That's not their only purpose. Somebody who is in a position like that, of somebody who is in a prestigious high position, has to have some other qualities about them, needs to be trained in certain ways to do more than just that. They act as a buffer. They act as a collector of information. There is a degree of some observatory skills, if you will, to take notice of certain things. They're trained to pick up little nuances of suspicious or undesirable behavior and, when possible, graciously redirect those people somewhere else, anywhere else but where they want to go. For whatever reason they give. Now, we have to understand those things. Because if we find ourselves in a like situation, it's a good idea to know that is what people do and the world does. To graciously redirect them back out of somewhere, or if that's not possible, or if they're successful in redirecting their path, they may need to alert the authorities. Okay, so that's part of what they do, especially in this particular position that she held. Even though she's just a servant maid, okay, she had a responsibility, and of course, of the high priest, she was in a considerable high position for the position she held in the social strata. But they can alert those over them of threats or perceived threats. She's the one that kept the door. Now, I know there's some people out there that are saying, why would they have a woman guard the door? You ever heard a woman scream before? I mean, it is loud. You talk about an alarm system. I hear Carol scream sometimes, and it pierces through my eardrum, sends chills down my spine, and gives me near a cardiac arrest. You talking about the defense system. And I was studying up on this, and interestingly enough, the loudest scream ever recorded was on a woman, actually. She's got the record. It was a lady by the name of Jill Drake, has the loudest verified human scream at 129 decibels. The loudest man, a fella by the name of Stan Lemkuhl, tops out at 117 decibels. Of course, they say that men bellow and women screech. And maybe that's part of the problem, why they sound lighter. But by comparison, to anybody else but a teenager, 110 decibels is a pain threshold. And you understand, if you don't have teenagers yet, you'll understand what I mean by that. But anyway, that is loud. It's no wonder God doesn't call women preachers. You think I'm loud? Just think if you had a woman preacher to listen to. But anyway, that was the... And it's amazing when you think about how loud that a woman can scream. I was just looking at the various decibel levels. A lawnmower, 90 decibels. A jet engine, 120. Louder than that, this woman was. And the gunshot, about 140. And if you get above 140, you're talking about instant damage to your hearing. So, again, I don't know of any other better alarm system. But anyway, whether that was the reason altogether, I'm not sure. But a woman can come off as deceptively as weak, if you know what I mean. She can, sometimes men, we mistakenly assume that they are weak and we have an upper hand and an advantage. But sometimes Wonder Woman comes up, and I mean, in a symbolic way, and they can do some things that are powerful and can do much damage. Okay, a man or a woman, for that matter. Whether it's I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking other ways. Just like Joseph, remember Potiphar's wife. I mean, she was trying to do him in, and she would have really done him in if he had succumbed to her temptations. But they may come off, these people who hold these positions, may come off as your common, everyday kind of person that are at your level. But that's not who they really are, these people in these positions. They're getting paid well for their jobs, even though they might be just a secretary. They're getting paid well working for a high positioned and high paid official. But understand, as we consider the position, they still need Jesus just as much as anybody else. And that's something we need to remember too. We understand the danger, but we need to understand too that God has called us to go into all the world. Such information helps us to interact in prayer for that person and with that person, that we may, what? That we may go forth wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. So now that brings us to our second point, and that is the look of suspicion. We find that recorded for us in Luke chapter 22 and verse 56. And in Mark, we'll look at Luke first, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him. Then we find again in Mark 14:66 or 67, as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him. And if you look at the original word in the Greek, it has reference to staring at him. Sometimes even staring a hole through somebody or looking into them. So she was not just casually glancing over them. She was just staring at him. And that by itself is uncomfortable. And it's even more uncomfortable when you consider the setting that Peter found himself in. This was a setting of a trial taking place. A trial of someone, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was closely associated with. It's just not, I know about him, but he was closely associated with Christ. He could have, and I'm sure this ran through Peter's mind, he could have been declared guilty by association. And one of the other things we have to recognize about the world, like this maid, is that being involved and giving valuable information to help nab a criminal, or more than one criminal, a group of criminals, will earn you a few points on the social ladder. You will be in a better position of promotion. So these things too, we have to recognize that's the way the world thinks. That's the way they consider and look at things. We find that this girl, or damsel, really, a young lady, could have been a young, ambitious woman who was eager to get her promotion. Now, apparently, from what we see here, looking at the context, this was not a look that had hearts coming out in the air, you know, that she loved Peter. This was not a look that was of admiration. It wasn't just a look out of wanting to learn about the gospel or anything like that. That would have disarmed Peter, more than likely. Likely, Peter would have responded differently than what he did. Again, Peter was probably paranoid about the circumstances, and having a healthy dose of teaching regarding human depravity, he may have been suspicious of her because she was apparently suspicious of him. We need to remember this in times of persecution. We can fall into unwarranted fear and do some very foolish thing just like Peter did. This is what we can learn from this. Satan likely uses some human pawn who appears to be interested and may be outwardly, but end up stabbing you in the back. Such was the case with Judas Iscariot. So these are examples for us to be warned of. As we mentioned last week, deception is usually the first weapon of choice that Satan uses. For the one who's called the deceiver, but he also likes to come as a lion walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And so you have the weapon of intimidation designed to elicit unwarranted fear. Well, it's understandable Peter was uneasy at this point. Even if we're not guilty of some unlawful deed in God's eyes, we can be considered, and often are considered, guilty, even of hate crimes that have no foundation as far as the truth of God's Word is concerned. So let us not, even though the world looks at us narrowly, is suspicious of us, holds positions of power, let us not succumb to this unbiblical fear to where it rules our lives. But now thirdly, it just gets worse and worse. We have the word of accusation. Matthew records for us in chapter 26. This is where it gets worse, because not only is it something that is more evident, but it's becoming public. It's been becoming public, and there's more people involved here. Before, just that one certain maid looking that's recorded for us, and now we have another person, and even more persons after that, that are involved in this word of accusation. Matthew 26:69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." Mark records for us now in Mark 14:69. But Peter was sat without in the palace, and damsel came in the same. "Thou wast also was with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And so we see this over and over again. We see it in Luke's account. We've already read it. And we'll read the rest of John's account. And John 18:17, "Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not." So, let's just break it down real simple. What does the first maid say? She says, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. This man was also with Jesus of Nazareth. This man was also with him. Art thou not also one of this man's disciples?" The other maid said simply one thing: "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." Now you have two women gaining up on poor Apostle Peter here. And if the thought of having two women attacking you and ganging up on you with verbal assaults gives you the willies, then simply don't say anything. Or change the subject. Like, "Look at that rooster over there." Or even better, "My, what beautiful eyes you all have." To flatter them. Now really, what are we supposed to do? We're to give an answer of the hope that lies within us. It's a good idea to be ready to give an answer. To be quick on, you can't be quick on your feet unless you're ready. Ready to give an answer of the hope that lies with them. The evidence was mounting, which makes Peter look even worse. It says in John 18:15, "And Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple." We don't know who this is. That disciple was known unto the high priest. And it says and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. So he came with this disciple and then went out that other disciple, which was known to the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. I don't know what he said, but somehow or another there was some kind of connection, whether he knew it or not or what. But then saith the damsel unto him that kept the door, art thou not one of those this man's disciples? The evidence was mounting more and more. These accusations were really beginning to stick. And then we see that his accent was a Galilean accent. We see in Mark, in Matthew, and Luke tells us. And then the one that really took the cake is John 18:26. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Now, he's done for. All he can do now is go weep bitterly. And it's a shame when we allow the world to put us in that position. That's what we need to learn. And let me tell you, I could be in that position. You could be in that position. We all could be in that position. And as we see the days going the way they're going, I hate to be negative, but I'm just looking at the reality to prepare us so that we'll be ready to give an answer. We need to take these things into account that God has reserved for us to help us in such a time as that. His cover was definitely blown. And the best thing he could have done is says, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I lied because of unwarranted fear. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And you do well to do the same. So now the point of application, we've made a few as we go along. Never underestimate Satan's element of surprise. Who would have thought that Satan would have used two maids to bring the Apostle Paul to his knees in tears? Who would have thought? Who would have said, well, that's probably what's going to happen? I wouldn't have thought that at all. But that's how Satan works. He does those things that we are not prepared for. So the point of application is Satan will use some of the most unusual things to throw you off balance. Matter of fact, that's one of the principles of Sun Tzu. I forgot his name anyway. In the Art of War, well, Satan's a master at doing those kinds of things. We cannot afford to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Let's don't forget also how frail that we are without God's grace and help. You'd think that Peter, being in the situation he was in, he was in fervent, earnest prayer throughout the whole time. Now, I don't know, maybe he did some, but maybe he forgot the fact that, well, I'll never deny you. He still fought that way, depending upon himself. We have no evidence that he had changed his view of himself. But let's don't be like these maids either. Let's don't use our position that we may have unlawfully in God's eyes to suspect or accuse anyone, making allegations against someone with no concrete evidence or two or three witnesses to substantiate our accusations. But be warned, that is the way the world operates. It's exactly how they operate. That's why we need to meet in public when we talk to other people. it's the best thing to do, to where we can have at least another person with us. I'm shocked sometimes. That's one thing I like about Vice President Pence, is that he won't go eat with a woman by himself. That's a very wise thing to do. Matter of fact, probably be a good idea these days not even have lunch with a man. Because you just never know what they might accuse you of. But nonetheless, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. We need to be mindful of Satan's devices, the world's tactics, and while at the same time, now this is where it gets so tricky, at the same time, having compassion on sinners. Now that's tricky, isn't it? That requires divine illumination and intervention on God's part. And we cannot have that unless we have some divine communication as far as His Word and prayer is concerned. We can't pray properly unless we know His Word properly. And so we need to be in prayer to God. And as we do, we understand that He's going to answer the prayers of those who ask according to His will, according to His Word. And again, being wise as serpents and harmless as doves, may we not allow men or maids be instruments to bring us to our knees in tears of regret by not following Christ afar off, but by following Christ within, as it were, the hem, within the reach of the hem of His garment. Following Him closely. That was Peter's first mistake. Well, I guess his first mistake was he said he would never deny. His next mistake is that he followed afar off. Good, he did follow. Maybe he prided himself in that. Maybe there's still that pride residing in his heart. But, and then that, of course, led to his ultimate denial of Christ. May God help us learn from this scriptural account of this maid or these maids and Peter's response, so that we would be forewarned, and that we wouldn't repeat the mistakes that Peter made, nor follow in the footsteps of these maids. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Charles if you could lead us and ask a blessing on the services afterwards too.